What is self? What is self? What is self?
Hello?
What's up, man? It's all good, man. We recording, man. It's we got it set up, man. Difficulties, but we live. We got it going, man. Just work with me. How y'all doing today, man? This is What Is Self, episode 3, AC, the artistic creator, man. All the little stuff. We got this thing going, man. I'm here with my guest host today, B. My boy Brandon, man, the Black Valentine, man. I gotta check him out, man. You say what's up, man.
What's good with you, man? You know your boy AC. He got some bootleg sound systems going on,
man. So. Hey, y'all, just somebody clap it up for us out there. We need a pat on the back, man. He out there in Seattle. We worked so hard just to get this recording device set up. I mean, it's amazing. So yeah, I just wanted to introduce y'all, man. Don't worry about that, man. Y'all be live with us. Last week, we was talking about self-desire. I had my boy Scrapless on. I got a lot of good feedback, a lot of great feedback, man. People was commenting. A few people wasn't so stimulated, but you know what? We got some more juicy y'all this week, man. We got something else. I got something real hot. I want y'all to know. Check it out. Tomorrow, I'm dropping episode 3 with Brandon. On Thursday, I'm dropping episode 4, and then I'm going to drop episode 5. On Friday, man, we got some juicy stuff this week. Y'all gotta stay tuned. Give me all your feedback. Today, we talking about self-efficacy, y'all. We talking about belief in self, man. We talking about really cultivating and managing that energy, those ambitions, that skill, and that desire, right? How you build that and achieve success. What's that about, B? What's that about, man? If you talk about self-efficacy,
I mean, the first step is, you gotta not lie to yourself. The thing is, you can't, if you don't believe what's going on, like, no one else is gonna believe it.
Okay, hold on. We're gonna stop you right there, because I just wanted y'all to get that little, you feel me, that little, we're gonna break it in right there, right? I want y'all to think about that. Let that sink in. You gotta believe in yourself. You can't lie. He said, you can't lie to yourself. So, I'm going to give y'all the self-fact of the day. Give y'all the self-fact of the day because it connects to what he was just saying. Don't lie to yourself. The self-fact of today is that people see what they expect to see. That's a fact, man. No matter who you are, where you at out there, people get used to a frequency, right? They get used to a pattern. They get used to routine. They've been to the gym, you know, any amount of times. They've been to the gym, traffic. They got on the freeway. This is the route they take, or this is what they do when they get to work, and such and such, Bob comes in the break room, right? This is what they do. This is the pattern. Or they go to school, and they get used to a pattern, so now they have an expectation when they're in these events. What does that do with someone is, you know, not being honest with themselves, though? Does that connect at all? Is there something that can connect there?
It's something that helps you. You know what I mean?
Right?
We grew up in Oakland, and so, like, you can expect that if you go to a house party, let's say you went to a house party in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Like, 9 times out of 10, somebody's going to start fighting, somebody's going to get trapped, you know what I'm saying? So you go into that, like, guarded, you're just like, okay, I need to know when I'm going to leave this party or whatever, you know? Where it doesn't serve us is when it gets to a point where you start, like, judging people and predicting the outcome of a situation before actually, like, going through it. So a lot of times we tell ourselves no before someone else tells us no. You know, and you just, like, self-defeat yourself.
That's true. So, and that's important, because we're talking about self-efficacy. We're talking about believing in yourself. So if you had this expectation, it can be a pro and a con, y'all. It can help you or it can hinder you. It's really dependent on when and where you use that, you know, and how you use it, right? So... now we're going to really, really get into it and talk some more. What helps you really realize self-efficacy was important? You know?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you, what, when it was at the point in your life when you started feeling like believing yourself even mattered? When did that shit even matter to you? Why?
Oh, look, when I moved to Atlanta.
How old were you? What happened? What was going on then?
I just graduated culinary school, so I was like 21.
Okay.
And so, like, I was in a place, you know, like.
Where'd you move from? Like,
no family.
You went to Atlanta from.
East Oakland.
East Oakland, okay. Land of the Heights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, went down there and, like, you know, like, these people didn't know me. And so, like, whether I presented, like, I knew what I was doing or I was scared, that's how they took it.
Right. Whatever your representation so, like, that they're going to accept.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, that's why I say, like, you got to, first step is, like, you got to tell yourself the truth. You know, like, it's real easy, especially, like, whether I can inherit, like, our parents' dreams.
Hmm.
And so, like, they'll say, like, oh, you need to be a business person. You need to be an accountant. You should try to be a doctor. You're so smart. You should do this. And if it's not really what you want to do, then, like, one, you may not succeed at it, or two, you may succeed at it and just be fucking miserable. And so, like, that's what I mean by, like, yeah. You just got to be honest with yourself before you can, like, grow.
Yeah.
Before you can, like, even, like, grow as a person, the first step is stop lying to yourself. Like, stop lying to yourself.
About
what, like,
about what, though? What do people lie about? Like, and, you know, typically. I mean, it's all across
everything.
The board. Everybody's different, right? But what's
everything.
Typical stuff?
Everything. I'm going to give you an example. It's going to hit home. It's going to hit home, cuz. So when I was home for Christmas, I saw you at my breath house, and I said, hey, are you coming to dinner tomorrow? You was like, yeah, man, I'm here.
Right.
You knew goddamn well you were going to Miami house. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you like.
You know what I'm saying? It's not a big deal. It's
right.
Not like, oh, you heard my feelings. But, like, it's little shit like that where you lie to yourself every single day. Like, oh, you know, like, how was school? You know, how was college? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, man, college ain't for me. Saying that to your family is hella hard. But you being honest with yourself will free you up for, like, happiness. It will free you up to, like, actually try to explore your truth. So, like, that's what I mean. It's just, like, we lie to ourselves every single day. You convince yourself that what you're doing is good when you hate it.
That's true.
And, like, you can't grow when you're lying to yourself. Like, growth only lies when you reveal the truth that's within you.
Ooh, that's deep. That's deep. That's real, though. That's real. So what is some of the things... How, were there things that you ever lied to yourself about in your past? Like, you're young, trying to get on your journey to believing in yourself and telling yourself that those truths?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
how did you initiate? What was this? Like, I mean, did you stand in the mirror one day and you was just like, yo, man, I need to stop doing this? Or, like, was it separating yourself from certain individuals? Was it activities you changed? Like, what was it? Was it habits? What was it for you?
I mean, it was all of that. Like,
some people don't know where to start, you know?
I mean, the first realization for me was like a hood realization. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was about to graduate high school, and, like, I really didn't know what the fuck I was going to do. You know, but everyone was like, you got to go to college. Like, you fucking know our family. You got to go to college. You got to go do this. You got to do that.
Yeah.
I really didn't know, you know? And so I was like, man, fuck it. I don't, Granny got arrested. So she was like, what you gonna do? I was like, I'm out there in the streets. Like, that's what I told her. And
right.
Like, she flipped out all kinds of shit. And so what happened was, like, that summer, after I graduated, before I went to college, like three things happened. One, my homie Mark got killed.
Oh, man.
Two, my homie Edwin, he was a year older than me. He got 10 years in jail, just
wow.
Like mandatory. Like, they maxed him out.
Wow.
And then my other homie, I don't want to say his name because I think he's still doing the thing. He started showing cracks. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, all these things happen in a short window of time. You know what I mean? And, like, and so I was just like, first off, I'm not trying to do nobody's 10 years. Like, just,
right.
That's not even.
No. No.
Like,
no, it's out.
Right. And so, like, in that situation, like, I had to, like, look at myself. It was just like,
two things could happen.
You know, three things can happen. I can get killed doing this dumb shit that I'm doing. I can get caught, and then I would stick to the G code and do it 10 years.
Right.
Or you get caught and you're like, I'm not about that, and you start snitching. Like, none of those things was, like, resonating with me.
That wasn't a W.
I'm not trying to die.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be 10 years. You know, so then you gotta ask yourself and be honest. Like, am I about this life?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, no, I'm not about this life. You know what I'm saying?
No, for real.
And so what happens, especially in a hood setting, is that a motherfucker won't be honest with himself. They'll be like, yeah, I'm about that life.
Why not?
Like,
why not though?
Like, they'll. Because they don't
want to
be like a sucker or a punk or nothing like that, you know?
Oh,
what I'm
saying? So it's a peer pressure.
It's fear. It's more fear than
anything
else.
Somebody was talking to me about that the other day, that fear is, because I said to them, I said, you know, love to me is truly the most powerful emotion or power energy out there. And I was like, second to that is fear. And he was like, nah, fear is more powerful than love, man, because it can stop you from anything. And I was like,
it so is. Yeah, he's 100% right.
It's just, yeah, you gotta get rid of that fear, huh? That fear of what? Fear of judgment? What is it? You know, like, fear. I know sometimes is it people dealing with the fear of the outside judgment, right? And then it could also be fear that they might have to own up to this responsibility. Like, what if they actually, people respect them, and now they gotta live with it? Like, now you gotta keep this up. Some people are scared to maintain something, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's like now.
This is what you know. Like, I mean, like, the fear is something new. Sometimes it doesn't even have to be
unknown.
I gave you an extreme example. I mean, even within that example, it was like, we got family that's in jail, cuz.
Most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Chances are I would have went to Santa Rita. We got friends and family that's in Santa Rita. It's not like I would have walked into a situation where I didn't know anybody.
No, for sure. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
But, like, so it's just like that right there. It goes with what you were saying earlier, where it's just like the expectation for a young black person from Oakland is at some point you go to jail. Like, that's the expectation.
It's kind of like a rite of passage as a boy or something, right? It just happens.
You get praised, too.
At some point, it's like you get commemorated, like, oh shit, he went down, yo, and he came back.
Yeah.
Now you got strikes.
Yeah. Right.
Now we respect you more. Now we respect you more because you done went in the fire and bumped your head. That's crazy.
Exactly.
What does that do to an environment, right? We're going to dance all around this. What does that do to an environment? Because it's not just Oakland. There's many inner cities out that's like this, right? They have this urban mentality.
Oh, sure.
Where now you're glorified for doing the wrong stuff. How does that affect someone's ability to believe in self? Are they choosing the right thing? You were just talking about now, being honest. Like, how does that affect that?
I mean, it's not like a straightforward question. Because, like, first you gotta, like, when you believe in yourself, you gotta, like, it's self-worth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, do you think that people want, you deserve more than a long prison sentence?
You know? I know,
like,
I do.
And it sounds like it sounds simple, but like you are, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to speak in your situation.
No, but
you know, people,
I've been in trouble. See, I've talked to you about that.
I'm sorry, you know, in there are probably people who are, like, so creative and artistic and can draw.
Some of
you
the
know
most
what I'm
rarest,
right.
beautiful talent is in behind locked doors, man. Of course.
Right. And so, like, that person has a gift, but if that person doesn't believe that they deserve to live the life they imagine through that gift, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you tell yourself the truth. because that person is telling themselves the truth that they don't, I don't deserve anything more than this.
Right. And that could not even be somebody in a prison. That could not even just be a prison. That could be a woman, you know, living somewhere and doing some stuff that she doesn't, you know, to produce money, you know, soliciting, doing things. It could be anybody doing something to achieve something that's not really up to their fullest potential, too.
Right. Yeah.
Like somebody just kind of wasting their time.
And, you know, like, it's a real thing. It's like, on the other side of that, like, actually believing yourself and pushing yourself, this shit is hella scary. Like, just, and again, I'm only pulling from my experience.
Okay, so think on that. Really, like, break that down. Like, really spend some time on what is really scary believing in yourself. What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
So what I'm saying is, like, I left Oakland, and I went to Portland, right?
Okay.
And then I didn't have anything, started cutting hair. 3 years later, I opened up my own shop.
Wow. I mean, people don't do it in 10.
4 years. No, yeah. 4 years after that, I had 6 people in the shop working for me.
That's bigger. For real.
So, in that situation, like, I knew that I could do more than what I'm doing right now. You know what I'm saying? But I needed a larger market to do it. So what I did recently is, like, I still own half of that. I left Portland, and now I'm in Seattle. Again, I don't have any clients. I don't have anything. And I'm going to build something bigger in Seattle.
You start from
that's
scratch.
What I mean is just like...
You start from scratch.
Start from scratch. And so, like, that's what I mean is just like...
That's self-belief right
like,
there.
You got to believe in yourself. And it's scary on this side because it's just like, I don't know anybody. You know what I mean? Like, until I get my client, I have until April to build a sustainable clientele before my money runs out. I have to gamble on myself that I can do that.
That's kind of like this saying I heard from Jay-Z a while ago. He said, you got to have the guts to jump off the cliff and build your wings on the way down. That's
it. Yeah, real shit.
You got to be able to do it. Have faith, right?
Yeah.
But you gotta put the work in.
You gotta know yourself. So like when I first got here, I worked for 6 days straight, 8 to 7, 6 days a week.
Wow.
And so like I could feel myself starting to get tired and starting to get a little sick. And so I was like, all right, like I could lie to myself and like, nah, I'm good. I'm gonna fight through this shit. But I was like, I'm gonna take a day off and I'm gonna start working, taking every other Tuesday off. And just take care of myself a little bit and see if I can bounce back. That's a little shit where you gotta be honest with yourself. Like, I'm tired. Like,
that's real. That's
I don't
real.
Feel right.
So you know what I mean? You don't like need to recharge.
Yeah, I mean, and like that goes with, well, like you're working a job and that job is draining you and you're tired and you don't feel right. And instead of doing something about it, you just stay there, and instead of like being happy, you start to cope. You start to smoke a little bit more. You start to drink a little bit more. You know what I'm saying?
And then because
you're not telling yourself the truth, like that shit like extrapolates. 3 years later goes by, and you smoking fucking an eighth a week. Like this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a lot of weed that you smoke every week. No offense to any people that smoking like big weed like that, but I'm just saying,
that's a
lot of fucking weed.
This is self-check, man. We gotta talk it. We gotta say the real shit, man. And that's cool. Because you wouldn't even think about these things. They're not self-checking. They're not looking at the, you know, the way that things have either gotten out of control or the way that they haven't addressed real truth about themselves when it comes to believing and going after the things they want. Like you said, being at a job, and it's like, if you're not going towards happiness, you're not going towards fulfillment, then you're wasting your time. How do you keep your self-efficacy intact, though? Like, when it comes to, like, you know, you said it's hard, it's scary. Like, speak on that. It's scary and it's hard. What's scary about it, and what's your defense to that?
The scary and the hard part is that, like, you're alone. Like,
you're alone. How? Because I mean, I know you. I'm gonna put you. You know, you got a beautiful wife, and you got, you know what I mean, newborn. So what do you mean you're alone? Like, you know, you got coworkers. Like, what do you mean, like, you're alone?
Yeah, but they, you know, like I don't have any like friends that really know me.
Okay.
out here.
Okay.
Or even in Portland for that matter. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was like all my close ass friends, all my family is still in California.
A lot of people can still
doing California shit, right? Yeah. And so me taking this jump because like I can see like, you know, I have to look back on why Seattle is great, you know what I'm saying? But like this place is really like the land of opportunity. Like you got two of the country's billionaires live in Seattle. You know what I'm saying? Like it's mad money to be made here. But like I can't convince people back home that, so like now I'm out here by myself and I'm making friends, but like it's not like they actually know me, like know where I come from. You know what I'm saying? Like
so you're
that's
saying,
what I mean by like
you're since you're alone, and so I mean I'm pointing this out because I asked why is it hard to keep self belief intact or why is it scary, and you pointed out aloneness. So a key point or a key factor in keeping self-belief is outside encouragement, outside affirmation, outside approval. What is it?
It's what you're doing worth it.
Okay, so you use the loyal friends or these people that are trustworthy as a reference point to measure your growth?
No. What I'm saying is like, let's say I come out here and I open up another shop.
Okay.
Right? Is having two shops away from home worth not seeing my family every single like day?
Right. And you have to decide for yourself, is it, right?
Yeah, you do. And that's not like a question that like I can give you an answer to.
Right.
Like,
we're not
so like that's the question.
Is segment right there.
Is what you're doing, like, is it worth it? You know what I'm saying? Because like think of our family.
You base that on fulfillment, right?
I mean, yeah. Fulfillment. Like, it goes back to your truth. Like, if I was chasing some shit that wasn't my truth, like the something that like, oh, like if he said, hey, cuz, you should go do that, you know what I'm saying? And I did it, it wouldn't be worth it for me, and I would be miserable, and I would start, you know what I'm saying?
If me and I got some homeboys or something, we out here, and I'm, you know, use the word, you know, whatever. Graph together, but I'm saying, what if I was out there selling some dope or something? I was making some whatever street money, and it was, you know, it was money coming in good, right? But deep down in my core, I truly wish I was with my daughter, spending some time helping her with her current sports career or something. And so that's what you mean when you say, like, is it worth it? Because it's like, yeah, I'm making great money, but is it really where my heart is?
Exactly. And that's what I was saying, like, you gotta tell yourself the truth. Because at some point, like, you may change and it's not worth it. And you gotta check in with yourself, like, once a year. Once a year, my wife and I
more than that.
Things, I mean, it's just where we are. We go away and we talk for like 3 days. And it's a 3-day event that we do. And we check in. It's like, how are you doing? Are you happy? Like, what are your goals? Have they shifted? Because shit changes. Like, I had my daughter, and shit changed for me. You know what I'm saying?
Drastically. Congratulations on that, too, man, for real.
Thank you. I appreciate that, guys.
Most definitely, man. So, well, how did that, did having your daughter affect your self-efficacy? Did it grow? Did it diminish? Did you have this encouragement to have more belief in self? Like, well, you know.
Yeah, it definitely did. And it's like, It's hard to explain because it's like it's not like a straight line, and I think sometimes people look at growth and feel like that, like it's a straight line, and it's not like that. It's just when I had my daughter, my health became more of a priority to me because I wanted to make sure that like I was here for when she had grandkids.
Man.
Or when I had grandkids, when she had kids. So, like, to do that, you can't wait till you're, like, 50 to start worrying about your health. No. Like, I'm 35, I'm healthy. I have to now, like, I stopped drinking hard alcohol, like, liquor, because I want to make sure that, like, I'm starting now to take care of myself. I started getting, like, a weekly or a monthly massage because I want to make sure I'm taking care of myself. So, I'm here for her, you know? And so, it's like, she's definitely important, but like having her made me realize how I need to take care of myself so I can be there.
That's real. I mean, I'm a parent, so I can understand that, and I definitely feel you on that. Now, even more with that too, did she like encourage your like true belief in your abilities? Like, you know how you were just saying you had this one shop, had 6 employees under you, and that just right there alone confirmed a little more for you, like, you know what, I can do bigger things. And so,
yeah,
being able to, you know, create your daughter and, you know, set up the life, you know, starting out for her, do you think that opened your eyes to say, I'm a father now, I can do, now my achievements are greater, right?
Of course, because, like, the thing is with kids, you can only achieve what you see growing up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and
That's why I exposed mine so much.
Yeah, and I'm not blaming myself, like, anything. It's not me, like, criticizing, like, my father or my mother. But, like, neither of them went to a college. They never took me to a college. So, like, I could never imagine myself graduating from college.
I can feel that. I understand.
So, you know, when they're just, like, telling me, you need to go to college, it was empty. It was like, you didn't go to fucking college. Like, why? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so that makes sense. So now you have this different endurance and ambition in your mind because you know your daughter is watching you as an example.
What?
That's real. I think some of us forget that. I just wanted to highlight that about the kids too, because sometimes parents, you know, a lot of listeners out there, we forget we are a role model. We are teacher number one, no matter if you send them to school or not. The kid is going to get it straight from us, and the simplest thing you can do, like, you know, just me doing this podcast, my kids are so excited, you know, my son, because he's like, hey, Mr. Podcast Man, you know, and they, you know, they have it in their head, you know, they wouldn't call their dad to take care of them now, they're like, hey, my dad got a podcast, you know, to take care of people, they don't even know what a podcast is, it's 2020, so my point is, though, like you said, you expose your kids to these things, and now you can, your kids might be, who knows what kind of self-belief you'll cultivate, right? Just off exposure.
Well, yeah, I think, from my experiences, kids don't do what you say.
No, they do what they see you do, right?
They do, exactly. They do what they see. And so, like, you know, like, if you're telling your kid you need to, like, focus on school and you can achieve anything, and you're not.
Like, you ain't producing nothing. You ain't read a book. You ain't read a book ever in front of them.
Like,
you don't have a book shelf.
Like, you can't expect your child, like, I know this sounds weird. You can't expect your child to, like, read some shit that they've never seen. You
that's
know what I'm saying?
No, that's
like,
real.
You would have to take them to a college for them to understand in their head. I truly believe that, like, you can, like, manifest stuff. Like, when you hear manifest, sometimes we talk about, like, a vision board and putting pictures and, like, I claim this and all this other shit. Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
But, like, you have never seen it. Motherfuckers be wanting, like,
You're talking about practical work.
No, I'm not even talking about practical.
Like, going.
I hear people say, I want this, like, Mercedes, right?
Okay.
I want this Benz.
Okay.
My question is, have you ever sat in that bench?
Hey, no. I love this, right? I love that you're doing this. It's perfect, right? Because this is something my friends couldn't understand, right? I'm 30 now. I was 25, 24. I had this weird idea, right? Because you might feel me now. I didn't know. So look, this off what you just said. I was like, hey, I got with my boys one day. I had a Saturn. I had like a 99 Saturn. This is back when I was 20, 25. I had an old beat up, you know, Duster Buster. And I used to drive around with that, but I always, like I told y'all, I always wanted more. I always had this passion for wanting nice things, right, whatever. And I didn't have no, like he said, Mercedes-Benz money, Audi money, and I started looking at cars. I came up with the idea with my friend. I said, hey, we should start going to the dealership, because I found out I knew a long time, all you need is an idea, a driver's license, and they'll let you test
drive. Driver's license, right here.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, we should start going up there just to test drive some stuff. And it was like, they were a little inspired, right? And I was like, think about it. I mean, they're going to let us drive around with some Infinity or some Mercedes. We can drive a Lambo. We can drive anything as long as we got a license. I was like, they're going to be riding with us, but we can just have fun with it, you know, kind of fill it out. And they didn't really, they didn't have the excitement, though. They were, like, hearing me out, but they didn't even have that fire in their heart. I feel like what you're saying right now is you got to actually go feel it. Maybe that'll motivate you and create, cultivate that belief, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just like if you just say, oh, I want this Mercedes,
what
it's
are you
empty.
Going to do? You're not, yeah.
If you sit in that Mercedes and you smell that new leather,
you're going to have a dream about
it. You hit the gas.
You're going to have a dream about
it. And you feel it. So now you're attaching more senses to that actual goal that you have.
You
touched
had.
It. You
were
smelt
there.
It.
You were there.
You know what I'm saying? You drove that shit. Yeah. Now you're just like, yo, I got to get back to that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You ask the guy, how much does this cost? How much do I need to down payment? You talking about you want all this stuff, but you have no idea how to achieve it. But you go talk to your guys to do shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you need to just cut
right.
down. You need to have your credit like this.
That's right.
This is going to be your monthly payment. Now you have a plan and a goal to work towards instead of like a fucking board with a goddamn car on it. You know what I'm saying?
That's real though. No, you got to. So you're saying just get out there and do it. That's part of self-belief. Like, you know, no matter what it is, just go out there and test it and try it a little bit. Because even if you're not there yet, right, you now you're in the water. Now you know what the water feels like. Now you know I need this type of equipment to proceed, right?
Yeah, either do it or go ask somebody.
So get into it. Don't just
like,
lie
I don't
on
know.
The floor.
Okay. Just like on some hip shit, like I don't know anyone who was just like came up and was just like, oh yeah, I know how to cook this shit, or I know how to bag this up. You don't fucking know.
No, you gotta try. And so, I like that because now you're hinting at something else. I talked to a lot of people about it. I was saying, this is my year for making as many mistakes as I can, right? And that's what you sound like. You said, people don't know how to, they just start doing it and you learn as you go, right?
Yeah, of course.
You improve as you go. I mean, yeah, of course, certain things require certificates and you require training. Definitely take those courses if you try to accomplish something that requires a specific, you know, education or technique for. But he's saying, try, you know, and that's what I meant when I said practical. Like, get hands-on. Actually start to, like he said, talk to people when they're actually doing it, who know more information, and actually get more in the schools with it. Because that's
what he's saying. I only say no to, like practical, because, like, practical is, like, it's sometimes... It's the same as, like, does this make sense to me? Like, realistically, it didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that I would give up a barbershop and pick barbers and go to another city
right.
to start all over.
Right,
it
right.
It doesn't make sense.
Not sensibly.
You know what I'm saying?
Not sensibly. But it's a risk.
Yeah.
It's a risk.
No.
And you got to reward
it. It's a risk. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
It.
Because I think I could do more, you know? And so, like, that's why it's, like, it's not practical that, like, if you work at Walmart and you just, like, yo, I want that thing. Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But it's not impossible either. You just have to like change your thinking and change your movements to hit that goal.
Because that's right. Even me cultivating this podcast, you know, doing the serve catering business that I got with my wife. And keep up this barber and just being a dad.
Shout out to
her. Yeah, shout out, man. You know, shout out, man. Love her, man. So it's just like you said, it's not practical. Was it practical for me to come home? Man, last year, for half a year, 6 months, I was working at a food produce warehouse after hours of barber. And I go 12 hours there, 60 hours a week, 60, 70 hours a week doing this warehouse stuff. Barbering for about, 40 hours during the day. It was crazy. So, I mean, during the week, right? And so, on top of that, I'm planning this stuff. So, that's not practical, right? Most people want to come home, have a beer, dinner, you know, catch some power or some TV or something, lay down, right? And the realistic thing is, what you're saying is, sometimes you got to color outside the line a little bit. Like when you put that
bed,
you go to Seattle. You kind of color outside the line.
Yeah.
Everybody wouldn't do that.
You do. You gotta fucking jump. You got to jump and, like, trust yourself and know that you're gonna handle your business.
Now we're gonna talk about the things that affects other people in your life. Like when you do that, when you take that leap, right? When you take that jump.
Yeah.
How does that affect your wife or, you know, your daughter? You know, this is a recent transition, and your daughter's a newborn. So things like that, or your friends, your six employees. how does it, your self-efficacy, your ability to have this belief in branding and just take these leaps that everybody might not be ready to take, how does that affect those that are close to you or near you?
Well, I mean, just first thing from the first part, like inside my house was hard. What we had to do was like, we had to make Sunday family day, and like absolutely under no circumstances would I work or go hang out with someone on that day. Like that's straight family day. And then when you're chasing a dream, you have to be okay with the sacrifices that you make. And what I mean by that, just in my situation right now, like I work from like 8 to 6, and then I have to clean up, and I get to work around 7:30, right? So I'm out of my house at the shop for 12 hours, and that doesn't include commuting, that doesn't include me picking up groceries. So what that means is that, like, I only see my daughter 1 to 2 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Whoa. She's newborn, right?
And so, she's newborn. So, that's the sacrifice I'm talking about. And like, you have to be able to live with that. I know that I'm gonna have to answer for that in the future.
Yeah.
And I have to be okay with that. And so like, that's the dark side of chasing your dreams, is that like, everything you do comes with a price.
That's real.
And so with my wife, you know, like it strains us a little bit because I only really spend Sunday with her. You know, I mean, I spend a little bit of time during the week, but like during that time,
man,
put the baby down, like she's pumping milk for the baby for the next day. You know what I'm saying? Like we're,
you're not talking about also just spend about,
yeah, no, yeah. Like, you know, it's about 3 hours a day, and then we end up having to go to bed and getting ready or cleaning and stuff like that. So we really only get Sunday. And now I started taking every other Tuesday off, so then we get like Tuesday morning off. But in this case, in this point right here, instead of me spending Tuesday morning with my wife, I'm recording the podcast because I'm chasing a dream. You know what I mean? So like, everything fucking costs.
That's real.
But I mean, the thing is like, everything costs anyway. When you're hustling, like, it could cost you jail time. It could cost you fucking your life.
Yeah.
When you want to be a doctor,
you gotta pick your poison. You gotta choose the right sacrifice, because no matter what you're doing, you're gonna have to make a sacrifice. But
it just has to be worth it.
Make sure it's worth it. So make sure the reward outweighs your risk. Make sure the reward outweighs.
Even a reward, I think
that's a reward though. If you be able to, you know, sacrifice these amount of hours away from your family, like you're talking about, then, but the result is that you're able to provide this future or this abundant resource for your family. That's the reward, right?
That is true.
That's the reward. I don't want people to think about it like, you're chasing the money. It's not that. You're chasing,
no, it's
you're
not
chasing
just the money.
Ability to provide.
Yeah. It's just like, I want to be able to tell Ruby, but like, if you don't want to work for someone, you can work for yourself.
Right.
And she'll have an example of
what that looks like.
How do I work for myself? And here's your example. You see what I did. You don't have to do what I did. You can take your mom's route. You can go into nonprofit. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to have options of success.
I feel that. That's important though, and that's all part of you showing her now too though. Showing her that hard work that it took, so that when she gets to that stage too, you know, growing up, it's gonna be different things. We have to have those sacrifices, and she'll see that you did the same thing, right?
So, yeah, I mean, I just hope that she understands. I mean, and she has every right not to understand.
That's right. Hey man, that's commendable work though. As a father, I gotta, you know, just tip my hat on that. That's what you're supposed to do, is understand your
family,
your structure. Because a lot of people out there, parents, you know, or soon to be parents, or whatever, right? I'm just being honest. Some people out there, they're not thinking about their structure. They call themselves, they're like, man, I gotta do this. Or, you know, they're leaning on stuff and they they justifying things, when more so you should just be proud of the things that you're doing because you know that it's a healthy choice, right?
Right.
Let's talk about deterrence. Let's talk about things that could be hindering Brandon from believing himself, or just, you know, not even just yourself. What are the things that really, like, keep yourself belief down? What stops you from cultivating?
I mean, that's just your self-esteem, and then, like, outside forces at work, too.
That was hella vague. outside foot? Because everybody, we talking to like, people, man. They somebody feeling.
So, okay, so, like, in our current situation, like the news and a lot of people feel like this is, like, the worst time in American history, in the world.
You're talking about politics, right?
It's really not. No, I'm talking about politics. I'm talking about, like, the global climate.
Right.
I'm talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about the whole thing.
People are in a frenzy. It's pandemonium, right?
Like, and it's like, just look at the numbers. Like, you can check this. Over 1,000 people in the U.S., not a third world country, in the U.S., die from the flu.
Yeah, man.
Every year.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The coronavirus has only killed, like, 860 people.
People are running around. Have you heard what's going on, man? You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the politics.
Yeah.
Almost like, line for line, the shit that Trump is doing, Richard Nixon did back in the day.
Hey, man, people, I can't wait to get the comments on this. Somebody going to be like, what? But the truth is, if you know your
Google
stuff,
that shit.
If you know Google your stuff, right, Google it. That's true. Richard Nixon, a lot of this stuff was kicked up before. It's a lot of recycled behavior we've seen. And I think it's interesting that you brought up that coronavirus. So you saying, chill out. Is anything going on in Seattle with the coronavirus?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, we got 20 cases of the coronavirus here.
Are you bugged out? Are you walking around with this little doctor face thing on, like a little cover?
No. I'm more bugged out because there are people who choose not to vaccinate their kids, and now in Seattle, mumps and measles is making a comeback, and there's an epidemic. Like, that's right there. That's a shit that we can prevent.
So. I know, because everybody's probably out there listening, right? I'm just making sure y'all are listening, because we're not on the tangent. I asked him, what are the things that deter his self-efficacy? What stops him from believing himself? And he brought up this pandemonium. So you're telling me,
yeah.
I'm trying to understand, like, so you're saying the fact that people are just in a frenzy, people are losing their minds out here, that's throwing off your belief in self.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, okay, and that's it. And this is, I'm going to dumb down the scenario.
Right.
So let's say, you've been to Great America, right?
Many times as a kid. The theme park.
Okay. So for those of you that don't know, it's a theme park. So imagine you're in a theme park with hella people, right?
Roller coaster.
25% of the people in theme park start running.
Oh, shit. Okay. We're in the theme park. Okay, I'm listening. Oh, shit.
Right.
You didn't even say what happened yet. You just said they started running.
No, they just start running.
Okay.
So then you gotta be like, oh shit, what the fuck? And then when you see what they're running from, it's a cat, right?
It's like a house cat.
Like a house cat. You know in your head that a house cat is not gonna kill you, but you're like, oh shit, well, maybe they know something I don't know.
Maybe it's a tick. Maybe it's, yeah, something, right?
And so, like, that's the type of shit where it's just like coronavirus. And I was like, damn, maybe they know something about the coronavirus I don't know. Like, maybe
okay. Wait. What? Hold on. You know, maybe. So that's, okay, so you say it's okay. You feel like you're in an amusement park. All these people around you is losing their fucking shit. And you're like,
yes,
I don't get it, but maybe I don't get it. Maybe I don't get it. Maybe I need to be running too.
So that
sensation, that urgency right there is throwing off your belief, your ability to
harness that. Because now I'm just like, oh shit, maybe I need to focus on this. I'm not focusing on myself. I'm not focusing on my goals, because I'm just like, oh shit, maybe I need to wear a mask and cover the mask at work. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, no, that's real, I'm so glad y'all, cause somebody out there is like, man, what are they talking about? They're all popping. No, I want you guys to really check this out. And if you really listen, what he's saying is, there's so much going on. And this happens all the time. You guys be, you know, focus on yourself. You need to focus on the mission. I told you this in the first episode. That's how you get in a pattern and you're working on yourself. You got these things lined out. And like he said, so much going on. It's all the hype. Really what he's saying is, it's the hype. The hype that's going on around you is so elevated that it deters your ability to zero in. And just like, stay conscious, right? Stay conscious of your effort.
Yeah, and
stay conscious of your measurement.
You didn't distract it.
Because right. There's so much right. Noise around you. And that could be anything. It don't have to be the coronavirus. It could be, you know, somebody hearing about the
Brown Cow.
People
losing their mind about the goddamn Brown Cow.
Right. Yeah, man, hey, man, hold on. I'm so glad you, because this is nonsense, man. Somebody brought that up. So, shout out my wife, man. She was showing me on her phone that people at her job was doing this. She was like, man, people are so lazy at my job, man. Hey, look, man, they gonna burn her up, man. But look, she was talking about her coworkers because they was posting a broom standing up, and she didn't tell me what it was, but when I went to the barbershop, they was talking about it, too. It was like, did you try the broom thing? And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, you know that it's something going on with the earth right now. And she got all serious on me, because she was like, it's something going on with the earth right now. So, you know, the gravity, it's a lot, we can stand brooms up without, they can stand on their own. I was like...
That's what I'm saying.
Your mind is going polar down now. The earth, what's going on with the earth? Hey man, people is getting gullible though, man. So what he's telling y'all is, don't get caught in the hype. Get off the wave. Like he's telling y'all, the wave is going to crash. It's going to crash back into the ocean, y'all. Waves do not last, man. So don't get on the wave. Don't be following the hype. Don't be so absorbed in it. It's okay to check in and be like, yo, that coronavirus out there fucking with people. All right, so we gonna just be mindful, you know, you and DMV somebody. Hey, man, get up. Right?
No, but, like here's what they said. Like, if you read the 2018 warning with the
coronavirus. Nobody read it, right? All these people that's talking about it, nobody read it. I guarantee you.
This move will reduce your chance by 80% of getting the coronavirus. You ready for this?
I'm listening. I hope y'all listening.
Wash your hands with antimicrobial soap.
That's dial.
That's it. If you wash your hands consistently, it will reduce your chance of getting the coronavirus by 80%.
Oh, man, that's a jewel for y'all. I hope y'all are listening. Hope y'all got that, man. Somebody linked that in. Cause it's a lot of y'all tripping out there. Y'all got y'all nerves all tense. And just wash your hands when you come out the bathroom. Nasty. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
I know a lot of people ain't washing their hands. Just wash your hands. It's simple.
Yeah,
right?
So a lot of people, they run their hands under the water and then think that they're
what they do, guys?
They sprinkle the water on their hand and they're like, no, I'm good. My hands are clean.
And then they put their hands all over the air dryer and they're like, that's clean or something. Are they do the worst?
Yeah.
They grab the doorknob going out.
Yeah.
Wipe out.
So, back on track.
Right.
So, like, that distracts me. Celebrating too much on, like, small victories.
Whoa. Celebrating small victories too much.
You should celebrate.
There's a balance. There's a limit. There's
yeah.
a line. Like, oh shit, y'all, we doing too much. Put the balance up.
Yeah. Like. Okay. So, a personal example. I just moved out here, and I just got. I've been here for like a month or some change, a month or a couple of weeks, and I just made $1,000 in a week.
Right? Nice. Okay, somebody talking about that. $1,000. Damn.
Yeah. Right? Right? The whole me would have been like, oh shit, we going out. I would have spent like $300
on the like. Right. I get it. Okay, I'm listening. You spent $300 on the table or something. Right? Because you got an outfit too. You had to get a quick fit. Boom.
Yeah.
A shirt
yeah.
or something.
So like now I'm like, I'm 400 in. I'm making $1,000 because I want to celebrate her hard. You know what I'm saying? And I just like negate the fact that I made that money.
Right. No, I feel that. Because a lot of people do that. I mean, they get something to accomplish.
I mean, I'm not a brother.
And I get what you're saying, though, because some people, they go too far with it. There's nothing wrong with going, you know, your girls, y'all just, you did something, you graduated a class, or you passed a certificate, somebody wants to take it out for a drink, that's cool. You keep it under 50, keep it under 100 or something. But when you want to go, and you just spent half of your check, or even a quarter of your check, just make sure y'all gauging it. Was it needed? Was it worth it? Because the celebration doesn't have to be monetized. It can just be the fact that you're celebrating. The fact that you and a friend got together to say, hey, man, good job on this. That's celebrating, right? So don't confuse it with having to go get a table, bottle service, and go to the mall now. Make sure you're not, getting off track when you do these things. I get that, because I've been there. I've been there, because,
We all been there. Like, I want to make sure that I'm not saying they, and I'm taking my finger at people. Like, I literally do that. It literally
gets me off track. That's what we're talking about.
It literally sets me back.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, currently, it does that. You
but
know
that's
what I'm
that
saying?
Truth,
like,
too, though. That's that truth that you was talking about. You got to be honest with yourself, like, yeah, I got $1,000 cash in my pocket right now, maybe $200 in the bank, but is $400 spent right now, is that really where I'm at? No.
Right.
You know, you got to be honest.
And so it's one of those things where, like, I just want to put that out there. It's like, I'm not saying it like, oh, I don't do that. I could show you that shit.
Sometimes you got to check that.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? Real human.
Like we were out here, and like I had a really good week because we were coming off of one of the holidays, and I was like, you know what? I always wanted some beat headphones. I didn't need to pay $200. I didn't need to go do that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But I did it.
He's angry, but I did it. He keeping it real, y'all. He did it. You talking about a moment of he had to be honest.
You know, but it's like I can't have that. I can't fall off like I was doing for a second week because that would fuck me up. So it's like, all right, I fell off this month. You know, whatever. I'm just gonna use these bitches every single day.
So it's important in self efficacy to be mindful of our decision making, because it's so essential to the process of believing in yourself. People don't realize how much they personally affect their faith and their ability to produce things based off of how they're making these decisions, how they're living their life. Oh, I want to spend, all this money on these clippers. Like, so, for example, I want to spend like $400 at the, $300-$400 at the beauty supply because I made some good money the prior week, but it wasn't a bad decision because I invested it back in myself. Right, I bought some clippers, I bought some supplies, some gloves, all this stuff. And then the next week I went in and I had an even banging more week because now I got these new supplies to charge more with. I didn't just go splurge on it. So there's a way you can do it. You just got to be mindful of it. Do you think that self-efficacy, because that's something that other people can see in you? Like, can people see that you believe in yourself? Like, he got that too.
Yeah, I mean, it comes out differently. You know what I mean? Like there's some people where they can see that you believe in yourself and you're trying to do it, and because they're fearful of, like, they're afraid to chase their dream, they try to tear down yours.
Ooh, I see.
You gotta be hella mindful of that, because you can flip into that super easy. Another personal thing, so I'm not talking about, like, abstract shit, like, you and your wife, your boo, you started this catering business, right?
Right.
Like, I was doing catering. I had a business. I could have been like, let me just tell you all the bad shit about catering. But I'm not gonna do that. Because, like, I don't wanna kill you guys with joy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't wanna taint the opportunity.
No, because, like, you could do it and have a completely different, it would be worth it for you guys.
But
it's
saying,
worth it for
you saying, you telling me that could hinder, it could, once again, change what I expect to see.
Exactly.
And affect my delivery, affect my decision making now, like, damn, I'm worried about this.
Right, but I saw that you were, like, super confident about you guys, like, cooking buildings, these plantains that I was talking about, you know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, yeah, this motherfucker, they gonna do this shit, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, other people see that shit, they see you making moves, they see you making plays. So when they say, oh, you doing this podcast, B, but ain't nobody listening to that shit, like, why are you writing? You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to take your shit, you gotta, like, go sell on my shit, you know? And, like, I think the hardest thing is, like, people want to be like, oh, hate National Thunder Food. It's like, no, man, like, you got to understand, like, that's not hate towards you. It's hate towards themselves. And it's hard to, like, like,
because somebody said hate is love and jealousy at the same time, right?
I mean, yeah, you can say that. But I don't even think it has anything to do with you, to be honest.
When somebody hates, it's a person.
Like, it's just like, damn, it's really, damn, me and AC come from the same place. Like, why is he doing this and I'm still doing this?
Right, right.
Like, that's more internal than it is than my issue. It's just like, fuck, man, like, I wish I, you know, like, why can't I do it? You know what I mean? It's all internal.
Okay. So do you think on the other side of people seeing the belief in yourself, do you think it's also like, you know, what about when you inspire them? Like, they see you doing so great. And because I think a lot of times, they talk about this at my church, shout out Joe, you know, Jake and Faye. A lot of, they say,
well, from the Cannon.
We forget, yeah, man, that's my boy, Pastor Cannon, man. And he always talking about how sometimes we forget that we're being watched. And people are sometimes we're the reason that people are working on themselves. Like, some people listen to my podcast and they're like, man, you had me at a moment where I really had to start thinking about me. You know what I mean? And so my point is, like, what about that side of the world where we're not realizing that how hard we believe in ourselves is impacting others in a positive way, too? Like, we got to be mindful of that, right?
I mean, my personal belief on that is, that's not my responsibility. That's your responsibility.
So it's not your responsibility to be mine. Like, so, you know, these folks, because I talked about that on my first episode too. It's really interesting that you have a different perspective. I was talking about, like, these social media influencers. And even them, you know, they have a high platform. They got a lot of people listening to them, a lot of people looking at them, a lot of people under their influence and impact sometimes. So you just said it's not their responsibility. I'm asking, like, a person who's being watched by anybody, even you know, don't matter if you got 30,000 followers, but some people are looking at you. You don't know how many people are looking up to the Black Valentine.
How about this?
Your responsibility to be mindful of what you're impacting, what you're bringing out?
Not when I'm chasing my dream.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want you to
I'm giving you an example. So, like,
somebody out there agrees with you.
I went to Portland, and now I'm in Seattle, right?
Right.
Is it my fault if you decide to leave Oakland and move to Seattle? Is that my fault?
Is it your fault if someone follows the same path but doesn't have the same results?
Right, because if I'm on my path, that's my fault?
You didn't say go to Portland, go to Seattle. You didn't say that. That's not, you're doing you. Like, no. Yeah, you're chasing your dream. And even if someone's inspired by what you did and they decide to go to New York instead, that's not your fault, is it? You didn't say go.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, me chasing my dreams, me take it how you want to take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's people who don't like the fact that I'm chasing my dreams. I don't give a shit.
That's sketchy, though. I mean, it's so hard because I completely 100% agree with you. But it's sketchy on the other hand because it's like, what if what you're doing is selling dope, right? Or what if you're pimping or you're producing?
Let me ask you this, guys.
Right?
You've been around, right? What if you're doing something bad and you're getting... I'm going to answer that.
Because if you need good results and someone else is like, I'm listening.
So, you from the hood, right? We grew up in
an urban environment, that's right.
Right. You had your path, right?
I'm
35 years old. I have never in my life heard anyone say I enjoy switching coke.
You know what? I've never
heard it.
No, I'm 30 years old. I know people. I haven't heard anyone say I like pushing coke. I like selling drugs. Well,
But then,
I mean, honestly, though, I got, you know, because, damn, man, we touched it. Because there's people out there that are way into the field, right? In the field, right? That's what you call it, right? And I'm not trying to mock anybody, man. Please don't nobody take it personally. I'm not joking nobody. I'm just saying, because I'm not in that path anymore, so I'm saying. I definitely know some people that would glorify and say they enjoy the lifestyle that they have. I would definitely say people enjoy being free, and I think it's more so the like against the law kind of
thing. I would push back and say that those same people, two things are going on with them. They're not being honest with themselves, and two, they don't know what else to do.
No, you're right, and I just wanted to make sure we got to that, because that's really what it comes down to, man. This is what it felt, y'all, what it felt, man. So sometimes people don't really check in. We are deep in that lane, right? Sometimes people have been, I've been there when it comes to women, right? I was talking about one of my other episodes, is that, you know.
I'm getting in trouble, cuz.
No, I'm not. Hey, man, my wife, she knows, man. And we talked about my past, we open, right? And I'm not talking about open.
Hey, I didn't hear this.
This was not scripted. We all freestyle. So look, I'm just saying.
Okay, be right here. No, this is not my fault. Listen, man.
I'm saying that I've been in that denial or that escape place where you feel like you're happy, and the truth is you wasn't.
What?
You're right. You know what I mean? You live in a certain lifestyle, you know, pattern, and you wasn't happy because you was either satisfying with your peers, what you felt your peers wanted to see you living like, or what you felt. You know, a lot of it is the music, in my opinion. You get all this stuff in the music. It's so powerful. People are living the songs out. You know, they run around and listen.
They listen to
Ayo at Obeo or whatever. I'm just putting names on it, right? But they listening to that. And so people are walking around with these headphones, or they slap it and they wake up, and that's what they think they are. They think they this guy who got the bag, who got Joe Chick, who got, you know, the hood bumping.
like here's the thing, because like,
and now they confused. Now they confused though, right?
You can see too. Like, if you've ever seen someone get stabbed, like, that shit is not glamorous.
Wow.
I don't give a shit what you say. Like, you like people are like, yeah, I hear rap, and they're just like, yeah, I'll put a nigga face. If you see someone get their face cut open,
right, or shot, like I dome a nigga.
Or shot,
right?
But yeah, if you see someone get shot, cuz, like, there's no, just, we don't enjoy that.
That's
shit.
That's no exciting moment at all.
No. Like, as soon as
even, hey, and I'm saying this on any side of it, right? Because I'm not, you know, I just want y'all to think about that. No matter what side of the mayhem you're on, it's not an exciting moment. It's not.
No. It's not.
It's highly glorified. So we bring it all the way back to people being influenced, or, you know what I mean, seeing your belief in self. So it's important, right? He said no. It's not his responsibility to make sure that his image is protecting others' paths in the world, right? Because he's living for himself. You have to. We all have to live ourselves. He's mindful of others. But he's saying that y'all also got to be true with yourselves, too. Why are you chasing this? Are you following the music? Are you following your boys that you've been on the football team with, and now everybody's doing this or whatever? What, you know, nobody's got a job on the block, so everybody, that's what you're doing, too? Why are you doing this? It has to do with you. It has to do with you. And you have to check that. You have to be honest with yourself. Can you tell me or talk to everybody about a moment of weakness where your self-belief is low?
Yeah. I mean, look, just in being in Seattle. So, like, I had 2 weeks ago, I had 2 days in a row. One day, I didn't do in the airport.
Wow.
10 hours shift.
I know how that
back there for 10 hours.
Wow.
And the next day, I did 2 haircuts.
I'm not even, yeah.
So, like, at that point, I'm like, I fucked up. Like, I'm not gonna be able to see my family. Like, I don't know what the fuck we're gonna do. Like, I don't know where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, at that moment, I was just like, damn, maybe I shouldn't be at the shop, and I can go get a part-time job, and try to work the shop and a part-time job, and I'm fucked up. I don't know, like, I can't keep going on like this. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I was like, damn, I really fucked up. But in my situation, like, I feel like I chose the best partner. You know what I'm saying? And she was just like, yo, we got bread saved until April, and you only been here a month. Relax.
So that kind of, that's why I was talking about it on the episode too, that it's important to have a partner and still fit in your life. That was a good balance for you to bounce back in your life.
Oh, yeah.
When your energy was wavering a little bit. Because that's sometimes we're human. It happens. I've been there where you get a little uncertain. And you get nervous.
Yeah.
Quick, right?
If you're listening, you're going to like this. So when you pick a partner, you got to be equally yoked. You know what I'm saying? And so, like,
right.
That's not saying, like, y'all got to have the same money. That's not what that is. It's not financial. It's a spiritual level. Y'all spiritually have to agree with each other. And you guys have to be in the same headspace. So a lot of times you're fucking with someone, I know this is off topic, you're fucking with someone because they look good or based on what they got.
This
or
is
what status you think that they have. But when I met Lamiya, we like were on the same wavelength spiritually. We were on the same wavelength mentally. And I think that's super important. And that is like, it's overlooked. And it's not even just like, you know, like with us as a people, like black people, it's across the globe. Like, it don't matter what your race, everyone gets caught up in like the glitch and the gold, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's not off topic. I say that's not off topic because, yes, we're talking about self. We're talking about self-belief, but I think what you're saying is true is that one's partner heavily impacts, is a component in one's ability to believe in self and one's ability to re-cultivate that, re-spark that at low moments, right? Your partner is a partner, it's a duo effect, and that's energy that you need. And like you said, if we get caught up in that glitz and glamour and the phony effect, if we're out there dating somebody because you got the butt that everybody's talking about, or she's dating me because I got this money or this job, or whatever it is, it's not true.
You got that Range Rover, I see you,
cuz. Right? You know what I mean? No, stop it, man. So you know what I mean? My point is, if it's not pure, if it's not all spiritual, if you're not equally yoked. You got to look that up. Somebody get out there and get that book open, man. Check it out. If you're
Google.
Not equally
Google
yoked. That's important. So, no, because I got a beautiful partner, like I said, Jasmine, man, and she's been through what some have, right? I mean, we definitely haven't had a perfect relationship. I think that's normal, but the healthy part about it is that we have that cohesion. We have that ability to, you know, really bounce energy off each other, strengthen each other in those weak moments. And those are blanks in me that she feels, and I think in the opposite, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you also have to feel like you trust yourself think that you deserve to have a partner of that magnitude. A lot of us don't feel like you deserve anything more than what you have.
Right.
So
self-worth.
You don't look for it. Yeah.
That's a part of belief. You got
it
to
is.
Check in on that because sometimes, you know, belief, let me talk about that, like the self-belief is connected to esteem, right? Your confidence in yourself, right? Like you said, you don't feel like you're worthy. You can probably deny yourself so many beautiful things.
Yeah.
So, when someone has self-efficacy, right, can they ever blur the line with an inflated sense of self-importance?
Yeah, man. Of course.
What does that look like? What's the difference? How do they know?
I mean, you don't know. Like, you don't know.
Wow.
Like,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, like you have to experience it. Like I can, it's kind of like a, like Buddhist teaching. Like I can tell you what enlightenment looks like, but like you won't fully know until you experience it. So like in this situation, like you're gonna have self-esteem and like you're gonna be like, oh, I'm the king shit on Curry Mountain. Like for me, it looked like me making $1,000. It looked like. Me making $1,000 one week and then coming back on my first day back on that next week, I didn't take no clients.
Wow. That's real.
That was me thinking like, oh, I'm the shit. I'm about to start making a band of weed, and I'm about to, you know what I'm saying, I'm about to do X, Y, and Z, and then it's turned around, and it's just like, I'm not as confident as I think I am.
So it's important to be like aware of that, right? If, like you said, you can't really
you need to be aware of it, and you need to expect that that's what's going to happen, because it's just a part of it.
Okay.
It's like you playing football, like even Marshawn Lynch, one of the greatest running backs, he still get hit, he still gets stopped.
Yeah.
He still gets stripped, he still fumbles.
Yeah.
Because he fumbles the ball doesn't mean that he's not good. No, it's a part of the game. You want to chase your dream, sometimes you're going to get knocked down. You know what I'm saying? You just got to keep getting the fuck up.
Right. So now we're going to, you know, get a little more detailed and talk, like, give us some more details. What's the Black Valentine? What can we, when we go to that page, what service, what product, what are you about? What do you have going on? And connect that to your ability to believe in stuff. You got a lot going on. Everybody hasn't had a chance to go to your page, man. Please go check it out. The Black Valentine, spelled exactly as I said it, on IG. Man, he got a lot of great stuff. But why don't you give some, you know, details?
I mean, honestly, like, as much as I'm doing with the bar rank, like, I'm in transition, like, in my life.
Okay.
So my page is in transition. It's just mirroring what's going on with me. And so, like, what I started doing last year is I started, like, copywriting. And so, like, copywriting is, like, a lot of people want to have blogs. A lot of people want to have, like, websites and stuff like that. But, like, the stuff that you put on your website or your blog isn't, like, eye-catching or interesting. And so you hire a copywriter to come in and essentially, like, ghostwrite part of that. They'll talk to you, try to get your message, and
juice it out.
Help you fill in the blanks. I also, like, do interviews. I also write articles on various topics. So I'm trying to develop the copywriting, and that's what you're going to see on the Black Valentine on the IG, is me developing the copywriting while I'm a barber. Because barbering has, like, an end date. If you're going, like, I'm going real hard, I can't keep this up. Like, my body is going to start to deteriorate. And so, like, you gotta have a fallback plan, or, you know what I'm saying, you'll be one of those old ass barbers that can't stop cutting hair because they didn't have, like, you know, you gotta manage your money right. So that's what's going on. I'm building a copywriting business. I'm writing short stories. I publish short stories. I got one on Amazon. I'm waiting for the edits for another one, so I can publish another one. I'm realizing that we're in a global market. If you can like find something to sell online, you can sell that to Europe. Like, I've had the book translated to like 4 different languages. So we can sell it across the globe. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And it's not like it's like a lot of money at this point, because like I'm doing it by myself. Like, I only make $25.
But these are multiple streams of income.
Yeah. And like you have to start somewhere. And so like that's what's happening with the Black Valentine. Like, my goal is to have the barbershops, is to have like the copywriting thing going too, trying to get some rental property. And so like that's one of my main reasons of moving to Seattle, was like to try to get into the real estate market. And there's just a lot of money out here for that.
I mean, so you don't have any other, like, I heard something about some coffee. I don't know if that was something you wanted to speak on.
I mean, the coffee, I'm not shipping it, like, state to state right now. You can only try it if you're in the Seattle area and you come to the barbershop. I'm at Old Habits Barbershop.
What's it called?
Shout out. It's Old Habits.
Old Habits. I just, you know, I want everybody to get a dose of everything, because it's really great and it's really cool to see, you know, because you're doing great things, doing big stuff. And you talked about the development. Like, people don't know you. You're a life coach. You did culinary arts. You did all these different kinds of things, right? But this is what people need to hear about, is the background, because it's going on in their lives, too. They might have these dreams and desires, and they might have these ambitions. They want to do multiple things at once, or they might be, like you said, want to do something that's, you know, as, I wouldn't even call it minute, but as area cornered as copywriting. And somebody in their circle might say, well, it's not going to make you a bunch of money, or it's only, how are you going to do, but to hear somebody else doing it, right, or just see, that's where the belief comes in sometimes. You gotta, you know, see a vision.
Yeah.
And so,
when you say happens, like, overnight, like, I mean, like, to, in order for me to jump into the copyright world, like, I have to, it's an unwritten rule that you have to, like, write copy for, like, a year for free. And so, like, that's what I'm doing. I'm writing mm-hmm. for a magazine.
That's sacrifice.
And so, like, that's what I'm doing. And so, like, after that, like, then you can, you have, like, a resume or in a portfolio full of work that then now you can start to charge for.
That's dope, though.
And so, everything's, like, takes off. A lot of times people think you just pop up and you start doing shit. And it's just like, you know, like, when I eventually opened up a shop out here, people would be like, oh, shit, you just moved up there and start doing it. I'm like, no, man, I've been grinding.
Because nobody sees the formation. Nobody knows, nobody talks about the formation much, you know? They talk about Thomas Edison with the light bulb, and they never mention the 1,000 experiments before that he failed.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a process.
It is a process.
No,
next year, I'm going to pop up on here, and I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, my copywriting business. And then people are like, oh, shit. And they're just like, yeah, you was there when I was doing it for free. And now I'm charging, you know what I'm saying, $300 a copy, you know?
No, that's real. That's right, though. And I just want people to think about that, marinate on it for a minute, because wherever you at in your process, it's a process. We're not in a race, y'all. We're in a marathon. It's your own race. And, you know what I mean? You're racing yourself, really. That's my point. You're not, don't look around you and look at, you know, my brother got caught up in that style. My brother, man, he got caught up in that around this
time.
Yeah, man, my brother, I love him. But I remember when he was around 30, man, he used to talk to me about, man, I'm going back to college because he was thinking about what people his age were doing. And sometimes we confuse outside lifestyles or what peers expect of us, all of that. At the end of the day, wherever you are in your process, keep pushing, cultivate that self-belief, right? And really be true, though. That's the main thing. Don't try to up yourself, y'all. Don't be out there, like, lying, like, yo, I got it going like this. I'm about to have it, you know, because what you want people to think or believe, you know, it's okay if you got to start from scratch. I'm telling people, you know, I started my first podcast. This is my first time doing it. I didn't read no, but I didn't go to a class for this. I tell y'all again and again, I'm not a professional. I'm not no pro. I'm not no doctor. I have no expert advice. This is just life experience. Just life experience. Hope that it can help somebody, touch somebody. And I'm just here to share with y'all, man. Hope y'all open up about self, because I can't help you open up about yourself if you don't want it. And, you know, if you're listening right now, good job. Pat yourself on the back. You already started. You already on that mission because you're working on it. You want it. I just wanted to appreciate you again, B, for checking us out today, chilling with us, the Black Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all go check him out. He got a lot of stuff going on. If you're in Seattle, shout out to y'all out there. I appreciate y'all checking me out out here in the Bay Area. We recording, man, through the waves, and we just got it all done today, man. Please send your feedback if there's anything about self-efficacy that we didn't touch on. Anything that you feel like we missed. And if y'all want to get the Black Valentine back on here one more time, we can bring him back, man. Just let me know. Y'all have a great week. And check us out next. We're going to have Luke boxing on. We're going to be talking about self-reflection, y'all. I appreciate y'all, man. This is What It's Self with AC. Hope y'all enjoy it.